morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. We have about 20 ships on today's Columbia River ship schedule. We're still clearing out that backlog of vessels that happened over the weekend when the Columbia River bar really was impassable to ship traffic for a couple days there. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River bar in effect from 6 a.m. this morning through late Wednesday night. That's at the very mouth of the river. In the bar forecast, which is a separate weather forecast just for the area at the mouth of the river, we can expect seas rising to about 13 feet by midday, and they'll stay about at that level through Tuesday night. However, seas will temporarily build to about 15 feet during those max ebb current times, happening around 1:40 p.m. Tuesday, that's today, and around 12:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's when the outgoing tide and the natural current in the river reach a very there's a lot of dynamic activity happening out there, and you can expect big waves, sneaker waves, eddies, current, strong current. And so that's why it's a part of a separate marine forecast just for that area. Overall, in the marine weather forecast, we have a gale warning in effect until noon today and a gale watch in effect from late tonight through Wednesday morning. We have some storms that are just kind of marching through our area one after another. We can expect just gusty, windy, rainy weather. Today in the marine weather forecast, south winds 15 to 20, gusting as high as 40 knots in the afternoon as winds build up. In the morning and then kind of dying down a bit in the afternoon, but it's still going to be gusting to 25 knots today. Combined seas building to 15 feet with a dominant period between wave crests of about 18 seconds and decreasing showers today, but they'll be back. And so when the waves start getting up in the middle to high teens, you can sort of perhaps anticipate that the Columbia River bar might go on yellow status. That's, of course, a determination based on safety issues made by the bar pilots and by the Coast Guard. And so when the waves start getting close to 20 feet, they start thinking seriously about restricting ship traffic for safety reasons. So if you want to see the status of the bar in terms of its openness or not, you can go to ColumbiaRiverBarPilots.com. And on their homepage, there's a little block of color there, section on the homepage that tells you what status the bar is in. It's either going to be green, yellow, or red. Red means really few, if any, ships are coming in. Yellow means they're picking and choosing the ones that are the most seaworthy to come in difficult weather. And green means what it usually is everything is fine and things are running normally. Well, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got 9 inbounders. We have 4 in the Astoria Anchorage. We have 2 at Rice Island, and we have 1 at the Port of Astoria loading logs. And we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Ever Sovereign. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll arrive there at about 9:30 this morning. She will be heading upriver eventually to pick up wheat. The ANSAC Moonbear is next inbound, and if you're a regular listener to the Ship Report, you know that acronym ANSAC means American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. So this is a soda ash ship dedicated to that cargo. She's arriving from South Korea, headed to the Vancouver Anchorage. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30. You might see her around 3:30. And the reason why that's kind of unusual is to see a ship dedicated to one cargo is that many of the bulk carriers that come into the Columbia River are kind of like ships for hire. Tramp ships is sort of the colloquial term in the industry that they're sometimes referred to, meaning that they go from contract to contract for different cargoes. And so those are the ships that, when they're switching from a mineral to a food cargo, have to wash and paint their cargo holds so that they can pass inspection by the USDA when they come into the U.S. So a ship like the ANSAC Moonbear, all she handles is soda ash. She's owned by a company that does that, that handles that cargo, and that she is dedicated to that one cargo, which makes things somewhat simpler for her traveling from place to place. The Fiji is a bulk carrier arriving from China, headed for the Astoria Anchorage around 11:30 this morning. Not sure what her cargo is. I would say a pretty good bet is that it's probably wheat, though. The Leto is arriving from South Korea, headed to the Rice Island Anchorage around maybe 12:30 today. The Ocean Jorf is arriving from offshore, headed for Crims Island up just before Longview. She'll pass Astoria around 12:30. Might see her in the Crims Island Anchorage around 3:30 p.m. The STC Sentosa is arriving from South Korea, I'm not quite sure where she's headed yet, but they'll figure it out by the time she gets here. She'll be off Astoria by about 1:30 p.m. She may go to an anchorage and wait for a bit until they sort out the details of which berth she's going to. The Urgina Luck is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. Upriver, she's a wheat ship. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30, and you might see her in the Vancouver area by about 7:30 this evening. The Ocean Bloom is arriving from offshore. She's headed for the Astoria anchorage. And she will be there maybe around 1:30 p.m. The Auto Atlas, you might guess what's on board a ship that has the word auto in it, is arriving from Vancouver, B.C. Yep, headed for the Port of Portland with Hyundais on board. She'll pass Astoria around 4:30 p.m. today and be in Portland by about 10:30 this evening. In the Astoria anchorage, the Star Mariella is leaving the Rice Island anchorage, actually, heading upriver to pick up wheat at about 11 a.m. She's going to Portland. The Indigo Lake is leaving the Astoria anchorage to go to Longview to pick up soda ash. She'll be heading out at about 3 p.m. The BTG Matterhorn is in the Astoria anchorage awaiting orders. And in the Rice Island anchorage, we have the Gemini and the Georgis awaiting orders. And the Global Striker is at the port of Astoria loading logs. And our outbounders, we have the Daria Shanti leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 12:30 p.m. and the FPMC 28 leaving Kalama around 9:30 this morning. And I'm going to stop talking about ships and start talking a little bit about tsunamis with you, because there's something important happening today. If you live on the Long Beach Peninsula, or even if you don't and you want to learn more, you might consider going to this. It's the Tsunami Roadshow presentations happening today. There's one at 1 p.m. in Raymond at the Timberland Library. That's on Duryea Street in Raymond. At 7 p.m. at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. Those are the two places where you can go and hear this presentation. At the Tsunami Roadshows, I went to the one last year. It was very interesting. Tsunami and earthquake experts will be in Pacific County I'm reading from a newsletter that actually, this is an interesting newsletter that you can subscribe to online. It's called the PCEMA, Pacific County Emergency Management Preparedness Post. And it's an emailed newsletter that you can sign up for at the Pacific County Sheriff's Office. And it comes out regularly, and that's what I'm using as a reference today. So you'll get to hear from experts from the Washington State Emergency Management Division, Washington Geological Survey, the National Weather Service, University of Washington Sea Grant, and they're going to give a 90-minute presentation, which will include time for questions. Now, it's a great place to go and learn more about those inundation maps that just came out that have kind of changed a bit what areas are safe and what are not on the peninsula and in other areas of Washington State that are on the water. And you can also learn more about the January 23rd Tsunami Watch, which caused some confusion. We all learned a lot from that. Coast Community Radio, we learned a lot from that, too. We're now going to be receiving alerts directly from Pacific County Emergency Management when there is any kind of an alert. So if we have another watch like that, you'll be hearing about it on the radio, even if it's in the middle of the night. So all these sort of emergencies that we encounter that we do well with, we always learn a lot, and that was what happened with this case. I would say even if you've been before to one of these, you ought to go. Here's a quote from that newsletter. In spite of the fact that this information may seem familiar, we think it's even more imperative than ever to help people understand the advantages of having a NOAA weather alert radio, the difference in tsunami alert levels, near source versus distance source tsunamis, and when the AHAB sirens will be activated. So there's a lot that you can learn. And it's a good refresher to go to this. So Raymond Timberland Library at 1 p.m. today and 7 p.m. tonight at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. That's the Tsunami Roadshow presentation. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.